Good morning, everyone. May the Lord bless you all this morning. You have come out here to this place, I believe, because you have a desire to come together as a congregation and worship our God together. That's good. God is honored with that. I'm going to read a psalm to you very quickly here. Psalm chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." May each one do that this morning. You've been singing, it's been beautiful. And I believe God has said that's beautiful. This morning now, as you let God speak to your hearts, that's also worship to Him. Before we go further, let's just all bow for a word of prayer before we go on. Our Father in heaven, this great congregation bows before you, and yet at the same time, a small part of your kingdom here. But we come with our hearts open to hear from you, Lord, this morning. And we pray that you would speak into our hearts. We desire, Father, that you would be honored by our coming together. We pray for your blessing on our meeting. And that each one of us would open our hearts to receive that Holy Spirit, that Holy Word that you have to give. Oh God, this is not just another meeting. It's a meeting with God. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to let that settle in our hearts. We pray, Father, for your blessing on these young men who will share. Calm their hearts and give them peace to realize they are speaking for you, not for themselves. And Brother Freeman, as he preaches the main message, Father, may you also bless him in his heart. Give them all words of wisdom, words to say that are honoring to you and a blessing to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have asked five young men to share this morning. And they have agreed. They've been here for the past week, and we're looking forward to the overflow and afterglow from them. Their words would just be a result of God flowing through them, and we can hear what God has done, wants to speak to us through them. So to you young men, we've asked Brother David Zimmerman. I want you to come up in this order. When one's done, you may just come on up. David Zimmerman, Herman Peters, Standard Boyson, Brant Landis, and Satchel Schoner. If you will come up in that order, then after that I will come up and have some more announcements and some things after that. So, Brother David.
Good morning to each one. It has been a privilege to be here this week. I've been blessed beyond measure, and I like the phrase that Stanley Fox used. I have been amazed, but not surprised, at the way that God has blessed me this week. And I hope that this can be just a little bit of, as Mark said, the afterglow of that. This morning, we all sang this together. Come, thou incarnate word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend. Is that each of our prayer this morning? If you sang that from your heart, you will not be disappointed with the results. I can guarantee. Because God is faithful, and God has promised to us that He will give His Spirit to those that ask Him. Let's just bow in prayer this morning and ask God's Spirit to move amongst us. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before You this morning. Our desire is to please You. Father, help us in every way to please You in what we say and do. And as we go from here, help us to walk as You would have us to walk, in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Father, grant me wisdom. I ask that You would be with my trembling lips. Father, may the message this morning be Yours and not my own. I commit this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Last winter, we had a really, really cold winter. I don't know how many of you had colder than usual. A couple nights, we had right around 50 below. Now, if any of you have experienced 50 below, you probably don't want to be out there very long without a light jacket or something at least. And possibly even a coat and something, maybe sweatpants. It gets to you pretty fast. And you probably wouldn't last very long if you didn't have a warm place to go and warm up. Down the road, I was driving past a house, and I noticed the front of the house was completely one big ice waterfall. Just something didn't seem right about that. And so I didn't really do much about it, but a friend of mine, he drove by as well, he saw it, and he went up there. And he found out what had happened is there were water pipes in the exterior wall, and the insulation wasn't enough to keep them thawed, even though the heat was on in the house in the 50 below weather that we had been having. The pipes burst. Because the heat was on in the house, it warmed up after a while. It wasn't 50 below anymore. And the pipes started leaking as they thawed. And it filled the whole upstairs of the house. And it leaked out through the walls and created this beautiful ice architecture along the front of the house. Completely encased the one door, so they didn't even need to lock the door. Their house was secure the way it was. Needless to say, it warmed up and everything melted, and it wasn't quite as secure then, but it ruined the house and a lot of things about it. Now, there was a problem with the way that was constructed, and the problem was whoever was building it didn't have the wisdom to know that you don't put plumbing in the exterior wall. This morning, I would like to talk about wisdom. If you had the wisdom to know that if it got down to 50 below, that those pipes would freeze and he'd have this problem, he would not have done that. And there's a common saying, hindsight is 20/20. And as we look back on that, we can see. But as we look ahead, can we see? So I want to talk a little bit about wisdom this morning and how we can gain wisdom. Now that's a little bit of, would you say, practical wisdom for young men who might want to construct a house or run some plumbing through a wall, is to consider whether the wall is going to be insulated enough to keep the plumbing thawed and so it doesn't freeze. But the wisdom that I want to talk about this morning goes far beyond that. Let's turn to the book of James. Let's just see what this wisdom looks like and where we can get it from. If any of you are like me, there are many times where I feel like I lack wisdom. Oftentimes I make foolish decisions. But here in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not." And it sometimes might be given unto him. Oh, wait. I missed the word. Oh, no. It shall be given him. So this is not a maybe or, well, if you're a good boy, you'll get this. No. This is a promise from God. And God always keeps His promises. God is unchanging. So what does it say? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's a promise, and God keeps His promises. So let's, if any of us lack wisdom, let's cry out to God. And it's not just a passing prayer in the morning, okay, God, I need wisdom today, and then you run on to work. This asking needs to be when we come to the place where we are at the end of our rope, where we are at the end of ourselves, and we need help. This kind of wisdom is not something we can rely on ourselves for. I've met a new friend this week. I'm sure many of you all will know who I'm talking about. His legs don't hold him up, and he needs to rely on a wheelchair so that he can get around in a proper fashion. Otherwise, he would be crawling, and he'd be having a really hard time getting around. But there's such a thing as a wheelchair, and he can sit down in that thing, and he can wheel around pretty fast. In fact, I could probably have a race with him, and he might even win. Because my legs might not carry me quite as fast as he could wheel himself. I'm not sure he'd want to do that, because I'm not sure how good the brakes are on that thing. But he relies on that wheelchair, because his legs can't hold him up. And just like that, we need to rely on God for wisdom. Otherwise, the wisdom is as it says in James chapter 3. I'd like to go to James chapter 3 and just look at this, starting in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. If we rely on our own wisdom, it will not lead us to the place where we desire to be. We need to rely on the wisdom that is from above. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16. There's a lot of examples of wisdom in Proverbs. Solomon was a very wise man. Why was that? Solomon asked God. At one point, God was pleased with Solomon. He came to Solomon and said, I'll give you whatever you ask. And Solomon must have been a pretty wise man already at that point, because he asked for wisdom and understanding. And that's a pretty impressive request, because he didn't ask for glory and money and fame and whatever. He wanted wisdom and understanding. And I trust and I hope that that's each of our desires here this morning. So let's hear the words of Solomon. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to skip down to verse 9. Chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in a man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So, you know, our own ways are clean in our own eyes, but the Lord knoweth. The Lord weigheth the spirits. In verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So our heart, we might be inclined this way or that way, but, you know, the way of a man is right in his own eyes. But in verse 25 there, the same chapter, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we cannot rely on our own wisdom. We must rely on the wisdom of God. Also, let's turn to Psalm chapter 86. And I'll read verses 11 through 13. This was a prayer that David prayed. David was a fairly wise man, and he has a lot to say about relying on the Lord. David relied on God. David put his full weight on God. He trusted God. And this is what David prayed. Teach me thy way, in verse 11, chapter 86 of Psalms. O Lord, I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. God has delivered us. God is all wise. He knows our weaknesses. He knows everything. So this morning, I would just like to leave this with you as an encouragement, as a just a little bit of a maybe whet your appetite to seek after God and seek for wisdom and understanding in your walk with Him. God bless you.
We are on an ocean beach at midnight, and oh, do you see it? A majestic sea turtle slowly emerges from the water. She searches for the perfect spot, and then she starts digging a hole that's 2 feet deep. When she has finished, she lays her eggs in that hole and covers them back up with sand, pats it down, makes sure they're secure. Then she heads back to the water to let her eggs hatch. About 2 months later, we are on the same beach. At midnight, around a campfire. And look, the sand is moving. And out come the tiniest little turtles we have ever seen. They are so cute. Like how, after taking in their surroundings, they come out, take a look around, they head directly toward us. After enjoying our moment with these tiny creatures, someone suggests that we should probably take these little guys back to the ocean, back to where they belong. They need to get back to the ocean where their safety and security is, so that no animal can get to them. So we bring them over to the safety of the sea, and you should have seen, and we see their excitement as they swim into the deep. We then wonder a bit, what would have happened if we had not been there to bring these little guys back to the sea? What would have happened to them? Where would they be? They were headed directly for a highway, and back behind the highway was just dry land. We know that the sea turtles need to be in the sea. So what would have happened? We did a little research trying to find out, you know, why they would have gone in the opposite direction. What brought them to us? And we found that as soon as these little turtles get out of the sand, as soon as they dig themselves out, they do look at their surroundings and search for the brightest light. They dig themselves out usually at nighttime, and so the brightest light is generally the moon reflecting off of the ocean. The sea turtles, or the little turtles, they have this instinct just to follow that light. And if they keep on following that light, they will eventually get to sea, where they are away from much danger. But this time, the fire that we were around misled them. Our fire was brighter than the sea, or than the moon reflecting off of the sea. If we had not been there, and the fire would have been there, they would have been in great danger. They wouldn't have gotten to their safety. I thought this a bit quick, or I thought this quite interesting a while back when I was thinking about it, and I saw a lesson that that we could take out of this, a lesson of discernment. That we cannot just follow any light. We shouldn't follow something that just looks right. But we need to make sure that it is the right and true light, Jesus Christ. Throughout the week, we did have, we heard much about, this week on many different Jesuses out in the world. Many different things that, or many different ways that people claim are the right way, or ways that they claim are from God. But that very often these people have been deceived. Just like the little turtles were. They were deceived by our light. They would have never found their safety if they would have followed that light from the fire. And with the messages throughout the week, I was convicted even more to, continue to search the scriptures and make sure that what we are doing, what we are believing, is true and right. We should be focused on learning who Jesus is, learn how he lived, and live the way he lived. Not to be distracted by things out there that are not for us as Christians, but rather to focus on Christ and follow his ways. I also thought the message going on deeper with God was a good practical, or had good practical points for doing just that. I'll just kind of briefly go over them here. The first one was to choose the narrow way. That was the first thing that we needed to do, was to choose the narrow way. Then number two was to completely surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. Completely say, just, whatever I find, I chose the narrow way, and whatever I find, that's going to be, or whatever I find in the Bible, that's going to be what I do, Lord. And number three was to deal with difficult things the way Jesus would. Number four was to exercise ourselves in the Word. In many different ways we can do that, discuss it with other people, do our own personal study, Bible memory, things like that. Number five was sacrifice earthly things to do the things of earthly, or of eternal value. Six was, if God's word says it, then do it. Seven was walk in humility, and eight was to serve others. I just trust that if we do these 8 points, if we follow through with these points, we will be led to safety. Here at Bible school, we are not surrounded by many worldly things, and the teachers have done good in leading us in the right direction. Now the week is pretty well over, and we are now going to be sent into the field to use what we have learned and bring forth fruit for our Heavenly Father. I'd like to go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. I believe these verses are a bit of an echo of what Brian Nolt said yesterday. Philippians 2, verses 13 through 16. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For us as students who have been here all week, we have a lot to take home. It's 19 messages that we heard. plus much sharing and fellowship. So we have a lot to take home with us. And depending on what we do with that, it can either lead us to safety or lead us further away from safety. But I guess I was focusing on here in verse 16. I believe this is what the teachers would have for us. This would be their sayings to us, as Paul said to the Philippians, that we would continue in the word of life, so that the work of them, of our parents and our preachers back at home, that work would not be in vain, but instead that we will allow God to work in us, continue to work in us, so that they can rejoice with us when Christ comes again. I'd also like to read Lamentations 3, verse 25, just one verse. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And also Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Ten-year-old Amaya held a phone closer to her ear as she spoke with the man on the other end of the line. The man on the other end of the line was her father. Strong emotions of both bitterness and anticipation overtook her as she spoke with him. Her father had disappointed her. He had spent his life behind the bars. He had a problem with burglary and basically totally neglected his duty as a father. She was bitter with him, but yet there was some sort of longing in her heart that she really wanted to be with him. It's that father bond that we all have, and it was definitely there with her. So as she was speaking on the line, they were talking about and anticipating this time when a bunch of kids would get together with the inmates of the correctional facility and spend an entire day with them. As the day approached, Amaya talked with one of the staff members, explaining to her how she felt. She said, I gave my dad several chances to shape up, but every time he would end up going back to prison again. She said, I'm not giving him another chance. She continued, he's lied to me. I don't trust him. So we can see this thing in her heart that was missing. It was broken. However, there was some sort of longing, some sort of thing that she wanted in her dad. She just totally didn't give up on him. So as this day approached, she was very excited in general. When she saw her dad, she just ran right up to him and embraced him and all the things, the animosity was gone. She had that connection with him that she had longed for all her life. She knew it was just going to be one day. But this is what she wanted. This is what she had been living for so long. So y'all might be wondering where I am going with this story. I am going to talk about God as a loving Father. Now, there are several things in this story that don't match up. Obviously, God is perfect. God is holy. But the thing that is the same in this story is the lack of connection. Rather than it being his fault that they were separated, it is our fault. God wants that intimate connection with us. God desires communion, but it's us who have sinned and want to go the other way. We want to go our own way, but yet still, even though we want to go our own way, there's still something that God has put deep down that it draws us to Him. God has just gave us that instinct that way. God, as our loving Father, has designed for us to know Him. All the other reasons we might have why we can't get close to Him just disappear when we see Him, when we sense His love, when we get in contact with Him, just like the story where this girl had contact with her father. So as we look at God in this light, we see God as loving Father. I thought of a few scriptures to share with you that portray Him as such. We think of our Father, obviously we think of the Lord's Prayer, right? But I was actually impressed. My brother was showing me that actually God as our Father is carried out throughout the whole Bible. God has always wanted direct communication with us. So it goes back to the beginning of Exodus when God talked to Moses. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, says, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." It goes on to say that if you refuse to let him go, I will slay thy firstborn. Just really seeing the intimate connection that God had with his people. Also later on in Exodus, God said, "Ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." When I think of this, I think of a father embracing tightly a young child and having that intimate, close connection. Later on in the Old Testament, after Israel had gone whoring after other gods and totally just missed it, totally blew it, God was speaking to the prophet Hosea. We know the story of, you know, he had these children and this child was named "Not My People." So God said, after God said to name this child "Not My People," this child's name was going to be changed to "The One That I Love." "It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, that it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." After we have done all this wicked, evil things, after we have sinned against God and gone our own way, God's desire is toward us that we should repent, that we should be His sons again. Think about in Romans 8, this is where the gospel is put very plainly in this way. "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, as far as I know, Abba isn't some theological word. It's just some sort of word that a baby makes when he talks with his dad. It's just a simple father to son connection. This is definitely what God wants for us. What I see in my Christian life, oftentimes, I don't really get that. I've heard somebody from my church coin this phrase, "Christian animus," and it surprisingly struck close to home. Rather than seeing God as a father, it is easy for me to see God as someone else, as maybe someone who I am supposed to please and not have any connection with Him. Throughout my Christian life, I've always had this idea that I need to have a quiet time in the morning. try to connect with God, but it turned out to be something maybe to earn God's merit or something to help me in my moral life. Some sort of animistic idea that to appease this deity, I'm going to have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all these things. And if I do it, if I happen to do it just the right order, God's going to bless me. God's going to give me exactly what I need. This kind of goes close with the world's or an atheistic idea of God. I was reading an article that described God as a warlike figure that the Hebrews made up, that it would boost his ego to send his offenders to a place of eternal torment. So that's the Hebrews' idea of God. So carrying that idea along, in order to escape this place of torment, right? We please God, we do A, B, C, D, all these right things, just like the things we've been learning at Bible school. I'm just saying this hits very close to home, this thing of seeing God as something else. I'm not trying to diss on any of the speakers or anything that was said at Bible school. I'm just saying God wants relationship with us. He does not want us to be in bondage, to see all these things as something we must do in order to gain His favor. We are adopted. If we have received Jesus Christ, if we have repented of our sins, we can come to God as one of His sons. We can have that strong emotion, just like that daughter ran into her prisoner dad's arms. We can have our devotions, wanting to have them, not a drudgery, not something that you just always fight sleep all the time, but something that we long for. That's my encouragement for all of y'all. It's not take away anything from what we've learned, but it's so important for us to know God. We're designed that way. And I'm sorry, life just doesn't work. Christianity doesn't work when we have a misconstructed view of God. So what I'm going to leave you with is 2 Corinthians, when Paul was talking about being a new creature in Christ. He says, if any man is a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He said that Jesus Christ has reconciled us to Himself. And then he gets to the punchline. He says, now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, as though God did beg you, this is God's heart, we pray you in Christ's stead. We pray you in Jesus' name. We say with all authority, be reconciled to Christ. That's my heart for y'all. Thanks so much.
Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. The last song we sang there, Everlasting Light, that was one I never sang before. Last verse kind of goes in line with some of the thoughts I had. It says, Thou art in heaven our all on earth art Thou. I was just thinking over this past week, we've heard a lot, especially us youth. And it's just in prayer and sharing yesterday afternoon, one of the things I did with my prayer group is I had each one of them make a commitment off of what they've heard this week. And a commitment's as good as what we make it, but I want to challenge all of us youth to not leave this Bible school without changing our lives. If you would all turn with me to Mark 12, verse 28. Very familiar passage here. Verse starting in verse 28, And one of the scribes came in, having heard the reasoning, have heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, he asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." I guess with that, I had to ask myself, what does that love look like? And I came up with 4 points that I would like to go through. Number one is our passions show where our true love is. And verses I have to go with that is Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. It says, "Lay up not for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And that's definitely true in each one of our lives. Our passions are where our treasures are. And, I guess the second point is our relationships show where our true love is. That's first with that is Proverbs 6, verse 3. It says, "Do this, my son, and deliver thyself." Sorry there. Yeah. "Do this, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come unto the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friends." And the challenge with that is that we would choose our friends wisely, and that we would just give discretion there. Point number three is, if those in authority can't speak into my life, how do I expect God to? The verse with that is Hebrews 13:17. Says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and with grief, and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you." I guess I was just thinking of Mark's last message. Was it Friday night, Friday afternoon? I just had to think of the list that he gave us. And how we relate to authority, and just a challenge there. And my fourth point is true neighborly love is Christ-like sacrificial, and that verse I had with that is John 13:34. Says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, also love one another." I think that's definitely very important to keep in our lives, that we treat our neighbors as we would have them treat us. I just want to leave you guys with that challenge. I pray that we could definitely been richly blessed this week. Pray that I could continue in that, and that all of us could maintain a deeper relationship with God. God bless.
Greetings to you all in the precious, worthy name of Jesus Christ. It's been a good week of taking in a lot of good messages, a lot of new thoughts, as well as some old ones, and reiterating it, concreting it deeper into our minds here. I was really blessed by what was shared already, and all the thoughts that have been brought out. Appreciated each one. And this morning, what I have to share, I feel like I'm speaking to myself just as much as I am to any one of you out there. So I'm thinking along the lines of what it means to be a living sacrifice. Find that in Romans 12. So why don't we all turn to Romans 12, chapter 1. So Romans 12, chapter 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. So here's beseeching us, coming to us, beckoning us by God's mercy. And so backing up, let's look at the previous chapter a little bit. We'll dig into this mercy, starting in verse 30 of chapter 11 now. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. These are precious words here. And sometimes I have a bit of an abstract way of thinking. I don't know, we all have different ways of thinking. So I was thinking about this verse here a little while ago, how this of him and through him and to him work. Now this is just a thought I had, that as we go through life, we are receiving from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. It's of him. If God is inside of us, living and moving in our being, as we know that we are the temple of God, that it's through him, and then the glory goes back to him. And, okay, so going on here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm gonna try to illustrate this a little bit. This helps me out sometimes to think of things in the form of a graph, get a picture. So we, as persons, as human beings, we're made up of three components, three parts: spirit, soul, and body. And what's interesting about that is also that we see the Trinity made up of three parts here: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what's interesting, when you put three together, let's say you have one, two, and three, they're always going to be connected. So the Father is always going to be connected with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's always going to be connected with the Father and the Son. And you get, I think that's pretty much straightforward. So, I'm going to try to attempt this here. Let's see here. I'm no artist, so bear with me here. Okay, so we have somewhat of a triangle. Looks more like a Dorito. Okay, so here we're going to put spirit on the top, and then we're going to do body down here. And in this corner, we're going to do soul. I know probably most of you probably can't even read that, especially in the back. But so this is us. We want to also put in the center of this. I'll section these parts off a little bit here. And in the center of us, I want to put our heart. Actually, I'm gonna try to do a throne. We've been hearing, okay, wow, that's an awful looking throne. Let me see if I can do better. So we've been hearing a lot about the throne of our heart. Okay, something of that nature. So who is on the throne of our heart? It's a good question we could all ask ourselves. If it's self that's on the throne of our heart, this is just going to be idle. We're going to be communicating with the body and just feeding the flesh. And this whole thing is not going to go anywhere. Now, I want to get our minds stretched a little bit further, take our minds outside of a graph. Sometimes it helps me to picture something. So imagine with me a biplane right now, okay? And I think I got this right. Usually they have a propeller on the front, and usually it's three paddles on a propeller. So let's just pretend here that we're going to have gigantic propellers coming out of here. Okay, so you're looking at the center of this here, where this whole thing spins. All right, so we're all kind of like planes. We have this propeller that is on us. So keep that thought in mind here as we go on. So the body. So when Jesus comes into our life, and we're going to put Jesus on the throne here. So Jesus is on the throne of our heart. We're now living for Him. So what happens to these three as they work together? Let's see now. So the body, we have actions that are carried out. Let's try to... things that are carried out. So the body, we also have our five senses. I'm not going to try to mention them all. I'll probably forget one of them. But so we have seeing, hearing, and so on. That's all part of the body. So I'm just going to do five. Let's do S for senses. Alright, so as we have Jesus reigning on the throne of our heart, He then works with our body as we're going through life. Let's just use this illustration. You might see a sinner, an ungodly man, woman out there in the world. And as we see them, it might be a homeless person on the street, let's say. You see them, and as Jesus was, and we too are moved with compassion. So I have here that this, from the body, we come over here, and this compels us. Comes over to the soul. And so the soul, we start developing this burden. Burden, and it stirs our soul. Stirs our soul as our body is now, we're now a living sacrifice, and we're going through life, and we're seeing needs around us. We're seeing the ungodly state of the world, and It is moving us, our soul is stirring, and that moves us, to the spirit here, where we, once that burden is developed and stirs our soul, we then move into prayer. You could also put here intercession. Jesus is doing on the right hand of the Father. So, as this whole thing is working together, our body sees the need, it stirs our soul, we develop a burden, we pray, we start interceding for this person, this thing, circumstance, situation that's going on in our life, and this then motivates us, and it triggers the body into action here. So I'm just going to do motivate. Motivates us to action, to carry it out. So we have this circular pattern going on. I know you could probably put it in many other different ways, but so as this thing keeps going around, it motivates us. So let's just say we're out on the street, we see the homeless man with our eyes, we come, we start developing a burden, we're moved with compassion as Jesus is, and that moves us to be praying for this person. And moves us to action. Hey, buddy, you want to get a meal? Let's go get something to eat. You know, and then you start talking about Jesus. And this thing just keeps going around and around. And we start developing some momentum. So remember that picture of that plane. Now here's where it comes back to that plane. That propeller starts whipping around and around and around, and we soon take off and start flying up through the air. So, leave that up there. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Isn't that very true? We are not our own. For some reason we think that, at least I find for my own self, that it's just too easy to allow our life to be run by the thoughts that our mind triggers. And just to feed the flesh, just to, whatever, do what feels good. But we have to be proactive in our thinking and constantly be reminding ourselves, which can be done through scripture reading, memorization, prayer, that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. That price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to turn here, but Matthew 6:24 talks about how we can't serve two masters. Many of us know those verses. Cannot serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other. And so thinking down these lines here, we were created in God's image, and I like to bring my thoughts back to the Garden of Eden, way back to when things were perfect, I guess you could say. There's Adam and Eve, and they just had that communion with God, as we just heard about. And such a beautiful picture. But now, it's not, today in this world, it's not that we're saved, we're born again, to be living our life and going about day unto day as we please. But it is God that wants to work in us. God has many things going out from this day on that He wants to do in each one of us that are gathered out here. In this room, there's a tremendous amount of potential for the kingdom of God to be furthered as each one of us just yield ourselves wholly and completely over to God. He will bring us to those situations, those divine appointments. There's a story, it's kind of a common story, but I thought I'd share it anyways, a little silly story about the chicken and the pig walking alone down the sidewalk. And there's a sign out in front of the restaurant, bacon and eggs wanted or needed. And the chicken's like, "Well, we can do this," saying to his friend, the pig, let's go ahead and go in there. We could fill that need. And the pig is like, "No way, because for you, it would be a contribution. For me, it would mean execution. And isn't that true, right? We are like that. Like that pig. For us to have our bodies as a living sacrifice, we have to be dead. We have to be dead to our own will, our own desires. In closing here, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to read there in verse 1 of the second chapter of the book of Philippians. We'll see Jesus as He takes on the form of the flesh and is a servant, starting in chapter 2, verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We'll stop there. So, praise the Lord, we could take on this example of Jesus Christ in our own life. I know it doesn't come without a price. You know, Jesus has given us the commandment to take up our cross and follow him. Must daily take up that cross. So as we go out from here into the weeks, into the months, as they progress, and the next November that rolls around, some of you probably will be coming back here if the Lord tarries. Some of you perhaps not. But where will next year find us, is my question. Where will 1 year from now find each one of us? Are we going to be able to look back on our life, perhaps take out that old notebook and see the notes that we had from these messages, and be able to see the progression that God has worked in our life, that we were we're continuing to move forward. We're like that plane that propeller just keeps on spinning. One thing I almost forgot to share is that the problem with this is a great picture, right? anyways, the problem with this thing is there's a little inroad right here. And so as this thing is swinging around and around, this wants to stop right here. You know, for myself, I find it quite easy sometimes to do all these, get to the prayer intercession, and then before, you know, right when it comes to it, we have to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And when it comes to bringing our body into the action, it wants to come right back here and just die. So, anyways, let's just continue to remember to be doers of the word and living our life for Jesus Christ, living sacrifice. Just as Abraham and Isaac, I think of that, you know, Isaac was on the altar. He was still alive, but in his mind, I can imagine he was dead, you know, as Abraham was ready to strike him. So let's have a word of prayer yet, real quick here. Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, O God. I thank you so much for giving us such a wonderful and blessed opportunity to meet these days, O God. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes inside the heart of the believer and moves us to carry out your perfect will and plan, O God. Father, I pray for each individual in this room. Every one has a soul inside of them, O God. And that soul is going to live on forever. Help us to realize that reality, not only for our own selves, but also for others. We'd be able to see people as souls, soul in which you've created. Oh God, I pray that you grant us a good next year here, Father, as we all leave this place here at the end of the day and go back into our own dwelling places, our homes, our family situations, work situations, whatever we find ourselves back into, Lord, I pray that we would not come back the same person, but that we would be changed more into your likeness. Pray that you'd bless Brother Freeman as he comes up here and shares with us. Pray that you'd strengthen and encourage his heart. We thank you for this day. Pray your blessing over the rest of this day, all the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.